Morning, everyone. Welcome, Tega, Uche, Nancy. Am I right? Welcome to our mess this morning. Thank God for bringing us all together to see everyone. Sister Bola, how are you feeling now? Please, has anyone seen my mom? She was helping us. Sister Shade, please let me contact her just to see that she's fine. Good morning, everyone. Can we all stand up for a second? Let us sit down. What we say? We're not unaware of the devices of the enemy. So lest the spirit of slumber comes in. So we try to shake off the spirit of slumber. Right? Amen. Amen. So, in the past few weeks, once again, as we continue with our topic of the fight, spiritual warfare, what spiritual warfare is, you know, there's this concept, I don't know where, how it started, but there's this concept of prayer warriors within the church, right? Do we all know of them, the prayer warriors within the church? But do you know that everybody is a prayer warrior? Should be a prayer warrior because there's the battle we are facing is not to a specific class of people. It's to every Christian. Once you declare for Christ, you become a target of the devil. You become a target of the enemy. And as we've been reading in 1 Peter 5, 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, goes around seeking whom he may devour." We looked at the life of Job over the past few weeks, how the enemy came with the sons of God to present themselves before God. And God boasted of Job before the devil. What was God's boasts about Job? Anybody? He was blameless. He was righteous. He feared God. God boasted about Job before the devil, and the devil accused God, saying, "Is it for nothing that Job serves you? Take away the shield you have around him. Take away the hedge you have put around him and see if he will not curse you to your face." And God gave Job permission. Sorry, God gave the devil permission to touch Job. And the devil touched Job. Everything he had, he lost it in one day. His children were gone. And the devil did not finish there. There was a second time the devil appeared before God again and said the same thing. This time he went for his health, and sores appeared on the body of Job that he had to take a potsherd to start scratching his body. I don't know if you've ever had that kind of ringworm where it'd be, is it ringworm or there are many, many skin ailments, you know, it's ringworm. You've had it before, right? Yeah. You can identify. Measles also. But there are some that will make you scratch and scratch and scratch, especially in what we all understand. Now, we know that the devil doesn't want any good. In the book of Revelations, we know that the Bible says that the devil is the one that doesn't let go of his captives. He doesn't release them from prison. God is a God of mercy. If you think that, oh, you are fine with the devil when you have everything, the devil doesn't, it doesn't play until you are destroyed, until you are done with, until you are ground to dust, the devil will not stop. So God, Christ said he has come to set the captives free. The devil has come to put people in captivity. There's a big difference. Christ has come to give us life, and that life more abundantly. The devil has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So we have to know the foe that we are up against. So last week, we went into looking at the Bible says we should not be unaware of the devices of the enemy. So we saw some of those devices. And what were the three we looked at last week? Temptation, he comes to tempt us. Accusation, thank you. is the accuser of the brethren and deception that we see all around us today. Whether you like it or not, the Bible tells us that if it were possible, even the very elect will be deceived. But it's not possible for the elect to be deceived because it's part of God's grace and plan that the elect will go through deception, but they will not be deceived. And, you know, we might think that, oh, the age of deception or that time of deception that the Bible talked about is still coming. No, we are in it. We are in it today. And it is even well within the church. And we have to realize also that the Bible tells us that the devil masquerades as the angel of light. So there is no better place for the devil to manifest than in people who they say that they are Christians. And that is why the Bible gives us a test, to test all spirits. To test all spirits. You don't just accept anybody that comes. You know, there used to be a day when we will, as Christians, go from one conference to another conference, one convention to another convention, you know, kneeling down for different people to lay hands on you. And many people have come away from those conventions and conferences with things that they did not bargain for. You have to test all spirits. Because not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is from God. Not everybody that performs miracles is from God. The Bible tells us that the enemy performs what they call lying wonders. And if you are very, very, you know, there are people who gravitate towards, something is happening there. I want to see wonder. I want to see miracle. I want to see magic. If that is your disposition, begin to lose yourself from that disposition. Because the devil too can do wonders. You know, what speed, when Moses stood before Pharaoh, Moses took his rod and put it down, right? What did the rod become? A snake. What did the Chaldeans surrounding Pharaoh, the magicians, what did they do? They dropped theirs too, and it became a what? Snake. It wasn't a sleight of hand. There was a big spirit behind it. Because the spirit that was behind Moses was the spirit of God. So the devil can also do miracles. The devil can also do miracles. But God helped us to know that the power of God is more than the power of the devil. Because the snake of Moses, of the rod of Moses, what did he do to all the other snakes? Swallowed them up. So there's a greater power that is in the children of God than the power that is in the world. We learned that the enemy is the God of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. So there's something in the air, in the world today. You know, we also let ourselves know in different countries, you have different principalities. Right? Every country is known for something, a vice. In the country I come from, the main vice there is called corruption. It's a principality that has been sitting over that country for I don't know how long now, for decades. In the country where I was born, is drunkenness. In this country, what's the original number one sin for America? Racism, thank you. You know, so every country, they have their own. If you go to Brazil, murder in the favelas. If you go to, is it Sweden or Belgium, one of those European countries, is prostitution. Red light districts. Belgium. Uh-huh. Holland. So there are principalities, powers sitting over every place. And you cannot just come and say you will dislodge principalities and powers without the power of God. The Bible tells us that you cannot plunder the house of the strong man except you first bind the strong man. You have to first bind the strong man. So today, let's go a step further. You know, we've looked at who the devil is. We know who our enemy is. It means no good. We've seen some of the tactics, strategies he uses against the children of God. He used it against Adam and Eve. And he tried to use it against the Lord Jesus Christ, but there was a difference. So today, we're going to go a step further, because it's not only to know who our enemy is. It's also to know what our own weapon and our own resources, what they are. Brother Peter, being an old soldier, help us to know that before you attack your enemy, you want to scout, what is my enemy capable of? And when you want to know what you are capable of also, remember when the children of Israel were going to enter into the promised land, what did God first ask them to do? To go and spy the land. Spy the land. Because that is what any soldier worth their souls, that is what they first do. Go and spy the land. Go and see what are our enemies capable of. But unfortunately, when they came back, they were looking with the eyes, their natural eyes. They weren't looking with the eyes of faith. Only two of them came back, bringing a report that, yes, within that line, there are giants there. A cluster of grapes, you have to take two people to carry one cluster of grapes. That is how big they are. Only two of them says that, but God can give them into our hands. The other 10, what did they say? We're like grasshoppers before them. So today, we want to see, are we like grasshoppers? Or are we ourselves giants? And are we giants by ourselves? Or what makes us giants? Because that is the next step. We know what the devil is capable of. But what defense do we have? That is what we're going to take a look at today. So let us open to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 6, Ephesians 6, and we'll read it from verse 10. And many of us, I would dare say, will know the scriptures already, because we've had it many, many times. But like Peter said when he was talked, when he wrote in his letter, first, 2 Peter, that these things, I know that you know them, but I will keep reminding you of these things. Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10. Just a brief background of the book of Ephesians. You know, it's one of those very, very deep, dense books of spiritual truth, of doctrinal foundations. You know, talks about in chapter 1, our election, adoption as sons, how we came to Christ. You know, in chapter 5, he was talking about husband and wives, talked about the church, a lot of deep, deep foundational scriptures. We find it in the book of Ephesians. And then it gets to this chapter 6 in verse 10. So of all that Apostle Paul had been writing in the letter to the Ephesians, and just to let you know, the book of Ephesians, the church in Ephesus was a very strong church. It wasn't a baby church. It was a very strong church. Because if you go to the book of Revelations and see what Christ said to the churches, you know the seven churches, Ephesus was one of the first churches that Christ said something about. He praised them. He praised them. And the only thing he said that was wrong with the church of Ephesus was that they had left their first love. You know, contrast that to the church in Laodicea, in Pergamum, you know, the other churches. This church was a strong church. So there were not small believers in this church. There were people who are grounded and rooted in the faith. So Paul had written to this letter to the Ephesians, and he got to this chapter, verse 10 of chapter 6. And he said, finally, my brethren, you know, this is not the finale of Brother Wally's preaching. No. You know, when he say finally, in closing, last point, and you know those finales. Do I do it also? Maybe also. This finally means this is the pinnacle of this book that I'm writing to you. So in all that I've written, if you haven't picked anything at all, pick this one. This is the main point of which I'm writing to you. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Many times when we have done studies on this book of Ephesians, you know, after this, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, we get to the armor of the Christian. But I don't know why we've always glossed over this phrase, these first two sentences. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because that is where it starts, before you put on the armor at all. Because the person who gives the armor itself, its power, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the person that Paul is admonishing us to be strong in. To be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, the opposite of being strong in the Lord and the power of his might is to be what? To be weak. Is to be weak. So for you to be able to face the enemy, because right from verse 10 here, he's going into, look, you guys, this is what you are going to be facing. This is who you are facing. So he's telling us, first of all, be strong in the Lord and in... Okay, on his head. I was just asking about you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Who you are facing? The first thing, if you are not strong, you are weak. Right? Okay. There was a time when the Lord Jesus Christ sent his disciples out. The 70 or 72. And he empowered them. And they went out. And they came back rejoicing. And one of the things he said was that demons were subject to Christ, to them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? They had power. There was another time they were trying to cast out a demon in which they were weak about. Because they tried and tried and tried. But that demon did not do. And they went to ask their master. They went to ask the Lord Jesus Christ. We've tried on this demon. Why? What happened? Why didn't this one go? And the Lord Jesus Christ let them know that this one doesn't go except by prayer and fasting. So the things that they were strong about, they could do. But it came to a place where there was something that was way past them. They were weak in that they couldn't do. Fast forward about a year or two, well, maybe more than a year or two, after that incident, after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was something that happened in the lives of all the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. More than the disciples, there were 12 disciples that became apostles, right? But apart from the 12, there were also followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in the book of Acts of Apostles, we learned that there were 120 people who are waiting on the Lord because the Lord had instructed them to wait for the coming of the Spirit. And I remember at the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that there are about 500 people who are gathered to see him at a particular time. I don't know how 500 people now became only 120. That were at the upper room waiting for him. But those 120 were filled. Do you know that through the Acts of Apostles, because Acts of Apostles was now a journaling of the things that happened to all of the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ after the coming of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that we never read of one place where they could not cast out a demon? Meanwhile, when Jesus Christ was with them, they were powerless to a particular type of demon. But after the Spirit came, they had a strength that they did not have before. They had a power. That is what it is. Dunamis, dynamite. They had a power because this was now Christ with them through the Holy Spirit. Christ was with them as man, God-man, when he was with them physically. But he said, I have to go, that the Spirit will come, and that the coming of that Spirit is going to be more beneficial for you than for me being here with you. Because now it is no longer Christ going with you. It is now God, the whole Godhead, being with you, going with you everywhere you are going. So there was a power that they carried everywhere they went. That's the first thing. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How do we become strong in the Lord? Because that is the next question we'll ask ourselves. How do we become strong in the Lord? One, we've just talked about it. Because there was a demon that couldn't go, but with prayer and fasting. So we know that that is one way to be strong in the Lord. Through prayer and fasting. Does anybody know how else can we be strong in the Lord? Sorry? Obedience? Anybody else? Huh? The word. That one is a very important one. Because the primary way by which you become strong in the Lord is to be with the Lord. Believing in him. Sorry? Faith. Please, help me hold on to that faith because I'm coming back there. Believing in him. So, when you want to be strong in the Lord, who is this Lord? Jesus, right? Okay. How do you cultivate a relationship with somebody you don't know? How? Sorry? I said, how do you create a relationship with somebody you don't know? You can't. But how do you get to know this Jesus, the Lord? By spending time with him. Okay? But if you spend time with him, how do you know what he likes? How do you know what he likes? You ask. It's there. So you don't even need to ask because he already told you. It's there. So you just have to dig into the Bible to know. Do we know what Jesus likes? Do we know what he dislikes? Can anybody tell me what is one of Jesus' favorite numbers? 7. Yeah, you're right. That's one of his favorite. Another favorite number of Jesus is 12. Tell me something he dislikes. A lying tongue. Pride doesn't like it. Hypocrisy. Tell me something he likes. Obedience. Tell me something he loves to eat. Bread and wine and fish. All these things are what we learn from him. And this is how you begin to know him. The more you pour into his word, the more you learn. Who is this Jesus? And as you get to know him, you will become like him. Because the person you spend time with is the person you become like. The person you listen to is the person you become like. The music you listen to is the kind of person you become like. If the music you listen to is kill, 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 do you know what you'll be like? You'll be like, kill. Let me kill him. If you listen to music that glorifies God, you will glorify God. If you listen to women, music that denigrates women, you will objectify women. The person you look at is the person you become like. So if you are preoccupied with Jesus, you become like Jesus. So one of ways of being powerful, being strong in the Lord, is to spend time in his word to know him. Like we said, is to pray, to commune with him, to learn from him. We know what he likes, we know what he doesn't like. Another thing, Sister Ronke said, faith, to believe in him. When you want to gain strength, right, you go to the gym, physical strength I'm talking about. How many of you have gone to the gym this year? By show of hands. Oh, all the young ones have gone. But we don't see the gains now. Mr. Bala was there to put up a hand. You know, I didn't see it. He went down quickly, like, don't let me. So if you want to be strong, you go to the gym physically. Do you know that there's a physical gym that we read of in the Bible? If you go into First Peter, my wife and I were just reading about it. That's why I could say, tell you about it. In Second Peter chapter 1, Peter said, which is where we all begin, our walk is a walk of faith, right? But it doesn't end with faith. For a Christian, it says, Peter now said, add unto your faith what? Virtue. Unto your virtue, add. Let's open to it. Second Peter chapter 1. Let me look for that chain. Verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To your virtue, add knowledge. To your knowledge, add self-control. To self-control, add perseverance or patience. To perseverance, add godliness. To godliness, add brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, add love. Love. There's another part of the Bible that says that all these things that we possess, we have to effectively be in use of them. We cannot just say that we love, we have faith. If we don't use it, it doesn't profit us anything. And then, please go to verse 8. What did he say there? If all these things are in you, and they what? They what? They, I want everybody to look. They what? What does that word abound mean? It increases. So you have faith, your faith is increasing. You have love, your love is increasing. You have virtue, your virtue is increasing. They just don't stay dormant. If they are bound, they are growing, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How are we powerful in the Lord? How are we strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? This is the way. We learn of him. We walk with him. Walking with God is no strange. Do you see? Have you seen Jesus before? No, we've not seen him before. But there is a walk we are expected to walk with him. The knowledge of him through his word, the consciousness of him throughout our day. That is how we walk with God. God, when he was talking to Joshua, after the passing of Moses, he said, Joshua, this book of the law that I have given you, don't let it depart from your mouth. But dwell therein day and night, that you may be careful to do everything. Be careful to do everything that is written in it. Because it is when you have done that, that you will have good success. Do not let this book of the law depart from you. Meditate on it day and night. So the consciousness of God as a Christian, it has to be a part of our lives. Dwelling in his word. You know, so for some time you might say, oh, I'm busy, but don't be far from it. Because one of the devices of the enemy is to keep you from the word of God. Another device of the enemy is to keep you from prayer. I don't know how many of you have ever experienced it, that when you want to go into the word, or when you want to pray, that is when lethargy will come. Or some. That's why I said everybody get up and then sit down. Because that is when a tiredness will come. Sometimes it's when the preaching is going to start, that is when slumber will come. You've been awake all day, but just at that time of sleeping, then. It's true. It's Satan. These things, so we have to press into God. We have to abound in his word. It is not only just, oh, I am a Christian. It doesn't stop there. You have to be powerful in the Lord. You have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The enemy you are facing, you cannot face. We've already established that fact. Because when God created Lucifer, God made Lucifer wise. Wise. Wisdom was built into him. The fact that he was a cherub meant power was also built into him. So just by your physical being, you are nowhere. You can't even, not to, don't let us go to cherub. Don't let us go to archangel. Ordinary angel, you cannot fight. You can't fight. Sorry, but what are you saying? Ordinary, you see? See, Brother Shegun here, who can fight him? Brother Debo is not here. we have a new one. Look at Shore. I know he goes to the gym. You know, look at him. Maybe when I was younger, I can't attempt that now. Or else I'll go home in casts. So ordinary Shore, we can't fight. Not to talk of angel, not to talk of a cherub. He's wise. He has time. We are dealing with our own immediate life. He's dealing with generations that is coming afterwards. So when we are dealing with doctrine, we think, oh, maybe I can just tweak the doctrine here a little bit. Add Jesus and something. Give it 2 generations is what we have today. A pastor says, everybody go and eat grass. They're all running to eat grass. And we think that is church. The enemy has gone and sowed tears into the field of the Lord. But you know something? You can ask yourself, what will God do about it? God is going to do nothing about it. Because he already said it in his word. Let them grow together. In the day of harvest, the angels will come. They will harvest everybody. The goats, the chaff, he puts to one side. Those who are his, he'll put to another side. And that is why we preach messages like this. It will be easier if we could entertain you. Believe me, you'll have more people here. It will be easier if I call Sister Shade. Sister Shade, please, when I lay hands on you, just fall. And tell that, just say the body ache is finished. I will, people, it will be full. It's lying wonders. I'm not saying that God doesn't do it. God, you see, I'm just saying that those who only do it on Sunday that can't go to hospital and replicate the same thing, there's something wrong. Because God doesn't end his work in the four walls of a gathering. Those who came to Paul and that were healed, they didn't come into the synagogue. Some met him out on the streets. The Bible tells us that the handkerchief of some touched Paul out on the streets, and that handkerchief healed other people. So it is not only the four walls. If we cannot go out into the world and do the same thing we are doing here, it's fake. Deception is in the world today. For us not to be deceived, for us not to be meat to the enemy, we have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We can't afford to be weak. We cannot afford to be weak. Said it. If you see problem as a married person between you and your husband, many times the problem is not your spouse is not the devil. It's not the devil. If there's problem between you and a co-worker, your co-worker might not be the devil. Many times it's not the devil. But if you can learn this word, that the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. When you as a Christian come into a place, what do you bring with you? You bring the Spirit of God. You bring light. You bring life to the place. The place where there had been darkness, your coming would let the darkness disperse. Do you think the enemy likes that? No, he doesn't. If you come speaking truth to those who have a lifestyle that is not a lifestyle in accordance with truth, to those who want truth to be relative, to those who want you to make your truth and let them have their own truth, they will attack you. They will discredit you. And except you are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, you will think that you are done for. Brothers and sisters, let me let you know this now, so that when you begin to see it, you will not think, oh, what is happening in the world today? There used to be a time when it was in Africa that demons manifested. Demons are now manifesting on the streets in America. Big time. Big time. So our going out to evangelize, or you went to evangelize in your neighborhood, you think you can do that without prayer? The stones of Sceva will happen to you. Because what we are facing today, as the day approaches, that is what the Lord Jesus Christ said, because the enemy knows that his time is short. And when the time is short, the person who is going to be killed will not mind what damage they do, because they don't care. So what we are seeing in the world today is going to get even worse because the time is short. Except you don't believe that Jesus Christ is coming back, which his word tells us. Let me take a break from there. Let's open real quick. Let's go to Acts of Apostles real quick. Saronki, you have a question? Yes. Yes.
The thing that came into my mind about being strong in the Lord is fear as well. And so how do we overcome fear? Something I wrestle with.
What brings about fear?
Sometimes. Sometimes it's natural.
Something you fear. Some people, Sister Buki, fear dog.
I'm with her, then that's...
You're with her?
Oh, I don't like dogs. I don't even want them.
So what brought about your fear? Dogs?
There is an animal.
You see, that's hers.
Same here. I was chased by one. Yeah. Okay.
There was a time I was chased by a pregnant dog, or a dog that had just given birth, not even pregnant. I was chased. But I'm not afraid.
I am afraid. I don't even like cats. I don't like animals, period. Okay.
So something brought about that fear. And if something brought about a fear, something can take it out.
Well, I think they're unpredictable.
No, they are.
Me right, because somebody will have a dog for 20 years and then the dog will maul them with their child. Yeah.
There are particular breeds of dogs that do that. Not every dog. Not every dog. Have you ever prayed about this fear of dogs? Try it. If you really want to be rid of that fear, believe me, it can happen. Try it. Bring it before God, that God, this thing, Yes, there's some trauma of dog chasing me in my past. I want to be rid of it.
How about cats?
For some of these things, I can't help you. A pair of bridges.
Yes.
No, it does actually. You might not know what it is, but the Lord can show you what it is. Because what the Bible tells us is that we have not been given the spirit of fear, and it's a reality. It's a reality. Some people are scared of dark places. You know, some people, you know, their discipline was when they did something wrong, they were locked up in a dark cupboard. That can bring about a fear. Claustrophobia. So there are different things that bring about fears. And the enemy capitalizes on fear. The enemy capitalizes on your fear or your insecurities. So you've got to bring it before God if you know it's there. I have not been given the spirit of fear. That is what his word tells us. Hey, that's another thing, you know. Use the word of God. That's what we have. That's what we have. But if it's something that you don't want, take it to God in prayer. Or fast about it. Eventually, God will set you free. Sorry? Act. Act. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Baba. Yeah, I didn't say finally, sir. Acts 19. Yeah. Sister Shade, please, would you, Adeleke, would you please read from verse 8 through 20? And let's listen, please. Yes. Acts 19 from 8 to 20.
And he entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Verse 11. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. 7 sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them. So they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. And fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. And many of those who were now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Amen.
Okay, so before we go into that story, let me just preface by saying something. Remember when we read of the children of Israel, this was a few weeks back, when the children of Israel, when they went to Ai, and they were sent by God, and the small army of Ai, they defeated them. And they came back and said, ah, what happened? How were we defeated, this small army? And then God told them what was wrong, that somebody had taken something that was accursed, because they were supposed to destroy Jericho and everything that they had there, they were supposed to destroy it. But something, one of them had taken something from Jericho called Achan. And because of that accursed thing, God was not with the army of Israel. If for a Christian, if there's be anything of the devil, any property of the devil that you have, if you have not let go of it, you cannot be strong in the Lord. You can think that you are strong in the Lord, but when the enemy comes, you will be defeated. What does this man mean by the property of the devil? Sometimes some people, when they are younger, they go into occultic things. You know, I know in America there's something called Ouija boards. They play it as a board game, but it has occultic rules. Some people in their past have gone to have, you know, just out of jest, let me go and do my palm reading. And they give me something as a palm reader. And as a Christian, I still have that thing till today. It is the property of the devil. Some music that I used to listen to when I was an unbeliever. And I know that how that music, what it evoked within me. And I still have that music or listening to it today is the property of the devil. Some books I used to read when I was an unbeliever. I know the kind of lust it brought out from me. And I still have it today. It's the property of the devil. There's no way you can hold on to the property of the devil and defeat the devil. It's like the property of Jericho that Achan brought into the camp of the Lord. The Lord will not be with you. There is no way. So if there are things such, you know, make sure that you don't have any property of the devil that would make the Lord not be able to fight on your behalf. Now, we read about these seven sons of a leading priest or a high priest called Sceva. And these guys, maybe they had been practicing it before, because I know that exorcism is something that of the Jewish faith that they do. And he said they were itinerant exorcists, right? So it's most likely they had been going from place to place. Maybe they had a few successes. But they came to this because they had been hearing about Paul. And this Paul, when he preached, and Paul was exorcising demons. Demons were coming out. It wasn't only Paul. There were other disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever they went, demons fled. Demons had become coming out. And they saw the model Paul used was casting out demons in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they tried to use this method of Paul, calling on the name that they knew nothing about. So they said, demons, in the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preaches, brothers and sisters, it is happening in church today. People are praying in the name of other people when the Lord has torn the veil into two, that the Lord has delivered us from Aaronic Christianity. Aaronic Christianity is when you go to the pastor, help me talk to God. So we pray in the name of Kumuyi, in the name of Adeboye, in the name of Ige. Whenever we come, we already have access to God. But because you do not want to take time to know that God, you are now asking shortcuts. I know that this person knows God, so let me go to him to pray for me. It is Aaronic Christianity. It's demonic. It is demonic. Because if you know, use any other name to pray, save the name of Jesus, you are worshiping an idol. We have to be careful what we practices we take on ourselves, practices we bring from different places, which are unbiblical. You only come to God in the, he says that there's no other name by which man can be saved. Save the name of Jesus. You can only come to God through the name of his son. No man purchased you with his own blood. No woman purchased you with their own blood. You are paid for. You are bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never ever, my brothers and sisters, pray to God in any other name except the name of Jesus. So these people are praying because they didn't know Jesus, but they saw results in Paul. So they began to say, in the name that of this Jesus that Paul preaches, come out. You can have, you know, there are hierarchies in the kingdom of Satan. You can have success with small. We're way small. Can you all hear me, Warren? All right. So, where were we? In the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. This time, the demon they met, in my language, we call it Ogbologbo. Say that. Ogbologbo. Say it. This was a well-established demon. And they tried that same trick. You, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, come out. He says that demon inhabiting the man. The man, what did he do? He beat them. They went in clothed. They came out like babies. And injured. I've heard of cases where some pastors who are not living right, they stand trying to cast out a demon, and the demon will laugh in their face. You want to cast me out? And begin to laugh. Slap some of them. So, for us to be strong in the Lord, we have to also make sure that we know God. We are walking, at least trying to pursue him. Remember what I said about prayers. Prayer is very effective and powerful because the prayer of a baby is equally attended to by God as to the prayer of an adult. Why? Because it is not the person praying that matters, but the person who answers the prayer. So the power in prayer, the power that we have before God, is not in us. It's in the person that we call upon. It's in the God that when we go on our knees, we depend on. That is why the Bible can say that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So, brothers and sisters, let us know God. Let us walk with him. Let us be in his word. And like I said, sometimes we might draw back a little, but don't, and Satan will accuse you. You haven't prayed today. You haven't prayed in a month. You haven't read the word. You get back into it. Because the only answer that Satan knows that can defeat him is the word of God. Eve tried to dialogue. She got into trouble. Jesus, he said, it is written. You will not tempt the Lord your God. That is what defeats. And as we come, you know, in the next few weeks, we'll look at what makes this word powerful, because the Bible tells us that the word of God is our sword. And the sword is a weapon of offense. But we'll get to that by God's grace. But for now, let us know God. Let us walk with him. Let us pray in his name. Let us not know God through Brother Wally, through Sister Shade, through Brother Bumi, through Auntie Kemi. Let us pursue God for ourselves and know him. No ironic Christianity in this place. Right? No ironic. You will see when you say, please, Brother Bumi, come and pray for me. What do I tell you? I will pray with you. Because the same access that I have before God, God has given you also. No, there's no God of Brother Bumi, please. Well, there's God of Brother Bumi, but I want to know God of Grandma or something. So, Grandma Olubumi. Because the God of Brother Bumi is the same God of Grandma Olubumi. So just don't say, pray in the God of Brother Bumi. You pray in the name. Don't pray in the name of the God of Brother. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the power that you have given us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the victory that you have wrought on our behalf, for we could never fight this fight. Thank you for your word tells us that while we were still in sins, Christ died for us. So, Lord, the stand that we have today is not because we are anything. It's the grace that you have granted to us through faith. And that faith itself is not of us. It is a gift. Your grace is a gift. And so, Father, we are privileged. We thank you. Thank you for the power we have in you as we pursue you. Lord, reveal yourself more to us. It's not only revelation we want, but change us to be like you. Father, the flaws, character flaws that you see in us, whether it's in impatience, whether it's in pride, no matter what it is, Father, we pray that you will deal with it in us till we become like Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray today, if there is anyone who has had this message and does not know you, Lord, let that word, that first step be done in their hearts. Save them. Save them, Heavenly Father. Your word to save doesn't come by persuasion of men. It comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would write upon the tablets of such hearts, O God, till Christ be found in them. Heavenly Father, we give thanks because you are our strength. You are all that we have. We cannot face this enemy by ourselves. Thank you for the knowledge of the hedge you have created around. Thank you for the knowledge of your angels that you keep charge over us. Indeed, you care for us. Father, we give all praise unto you in the name of Jesus. Amen.